Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. This is Howell and Jamie. We're just waiting for Matthew Wanless to join us. He's busy. And I thought now would be a good time to mention that I've begun working on a new theme tune for the podcast, a new version of the old theme tune, in fact. It was called Back Legs. The title of the track that we've used for the theme tune in the past, for the last 4 years, is Back Legs. And that's because I was looking at my rabbit running around the living room when I wrote it. So Backlegs 2019 is currently, well, it's ready to be unveiled.
Wow.
What do you expect?
I'm expecting something a lot more epic, strings, power ballad, something a bit like T'Pau, relate. Something that sounds a bit like T'Pau would sing. Bit of sax as well.
I'd say you're going to be 80% disappointed then. Because it's definitely more epic, but I think I've gone in the direction of... it's sort of a... it's a bit like a... It's a bit funkier. It's funkier. I thought we needed a more cheerful theme tune.
Okay, yeah. Less serious. So,
yeah, and also, I think, you know, because they're, I'm not sure if it's cultural appropriation or not, but I put some South African singers on at the start of it as well.
Ah, you'll be all right.
I'm not sure what it is that they're saying. I think it's tea. Oh, hi, Matt. Matt's joining us now. So, just talking about the new Box Set Pod theme tune.
Are we recording already?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hi, everyone.
There's a little preamble. I've done a new version of the Box Set Pod theme tune, and I think I've made the right decision in having some South African singers at the beginning of it.
Are you sure they're South African? You're definitely absolutely sure about that?
100%.
Just checking.
100%. South African singers. Now, the only setting on Apple Loops when you use South African singers effect is they're saying a word that I think is Timo, but I'm not sure. So if we I couldn't get them to say box set. If we can imagine that, that would be great. Shall I just start it?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, still working on...
It's a seamless transition from African vocals to jazz ballad.
Well, I agree. I agree completely.
That is very strange.
And I mean, the end, it just gets better and better. So welcome to the Box Set Pod. Very exciting. It's a whole new world, new theme tune, new stuff, and a new box set to talk about, because Jamie challenged us to... watch Succession last time.
It's not even that new. It's been this is the second series is out now. But
first series only launched in August, so it's only a year old.
No.
Oh, wow.
I looked it up last night.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I did look it up because I got into a rather lengthy discussion with some of my friends about I won't bore you with the detail, but basically I said to them, because they've been badgering me to watch it, and I said, it's your fault that I haven't. And I told them that they should have alerted me to its presence sooner.
Yeah.
And then they gave quite compelling evidence that they told me about it a long time ago. but I looked it up. It only broadcast for the first time in August 2018.
Succession is new to me and Matt. Jamie has been on it for a while, and I'd like to clearly we're all going to agree on this. I love it. I cannot stop watching it. I'm halfway through the second series already.
Yes.
Back.
Oh, I mean, it's just divine.
Yes. Yeah. Why don't you give us a synopsis of the plot, Howell?
All right. Imagine we're looking at a sort of Donald Trumpian or Rupert Murdochian sort of family, as kind of right wing, uber capitalist, billionaire family in New York. And essentially the dad, the boss of the family, gets ill in episode one. And the question arises about who his successor would be. What's going to happen to the company in the future? And to say any more than that would be spoiling anything, I think. But to say that all of his children are equally fascinating, interesting and hilarious characters. It's been written by the guy who wrote Peep Show, from Elmsmere Port, down the road from here.
Yeah, he wrote Peep Show. He's written for Veep, and he's written for The Thick of It.
In the Loop.
I feel like it's a little bit softer in a good way, or it's less heavily satirical.
Yeah, there's more drama than satire at times, isn't there? Well, it's more dramatic anyway, and... You know,
and the comedy comes from the characters, so it's kind of you buy this world entirely, and you kind of also buy that these characters can probably exist and are even worse in these kinds of families. But the line that the reason I love it so much, the line that it walks between making you love and hate somebody at the same time is just like constantly engaging. I mean, that I think my favorite character has got to be Tom.
I mean, Tom's
brilliant.
Played by Matthew McFadden, who is like the husband of one of the heirs to the throne, so to speak, and is such a desperate individual. But his story and his journey, and in season two, he has some of the best. It gets even better for him. His journey gets even more funny and ridiculous and sad and tragic and pathetic.
What I love about him, because, and first, let me also say that I'm only on episode two, so please.
Oh, no spoilers. Right.
There was already a minor one there where you said that he's married to Shiv, which we
didn't know that. Jamie.
But shit. Yeah, sorry.
What I love so far about him is that this kid. So in the first episode, to give it a little wider synopsis, we meet the Roy family, headed by Brian Cox's Leonard Roy. What's his name?
Maybe Leonard. Is it?
It's Logan. Not Leonard. I don't think it is.
Logan
Roy. Thank you. His sons Kendall, Roman, and his daughter Shiv, and then this kid, cousin Gregory, who kind of appears out of nowhere. You see him getting high and throwing up into the. the mask of a kind of Disney type character that he's playing in a children's theme park.
He feels like the most obvious character that would be in like a Veep or a Thick of It episode.
Yes, he does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But what I love is the way that Tom, who's Shiv's boyfriend at this point, is so meek and humble in front of Logan Roy. And like he's trying to give him a gift. It's his birthday throughout the entire thing, and he can't summon up the fucking nuts just to go over him and say, "Here's your birthday present."
But
then when Gregory comes in, he just starts fucking with him so mercilessly. He keeps saying things, awful things to him, and the kid's like, "What?" And he says, "No, I'm just fucking with you. I'm just fucking with you. But I will kill you." He's just constantly ripping him to pieces. It's hilarious.
There's a kind of a love story between those two now that develops
their relationships really interesting.
I don't want to know any more. I don't want to know any more about how it goes on from there.
Well,
you're not going to be disappointed. If you're enjoying that dynamic now, you're not going to be disappointed, put it that way.
But I've got to say, Lee, like I say, I'm only two episodes in and I was begging Hannah to stay up and watch a third last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And she wouldn't fucking do it. She doesn't love me. But I'm just... instantly it took minutes before it's like, oh, this is good,
it's just brilliant.
The writing's so slick and it's so tense the whole time, like because at the moment everything's kind of hanging in the balance in this sort of elaborate corporate
And I suppose we should say the main character is his youngest son, I think, maybe. Kendall. Anyway, Kendall's the kind of main character of this thing, and I was interested in what you guys thought of him as a character, especially at this point where you're at, Matt. Do you like him? What do you think of him? Are you gonna
Kendall? I mean, I've also just realised I've omitted one of his brothers, the older brother. Is it James?
Of course, yes.
Who's played by the guy from Spin
from
City,
Ferris Bueller, as well? Yeah.
Yes, he is from Ferris Bueller, isn't he? God, yeah. And no, at the moment, you kind of feel like Kendall is getting a little bit shafted early on because he's kind of been presented as the heir to the throne. And then very quickly, that's all taken away from him. And he's in the middle of this kind of horribly high powered corporate deal where everyone is just being such a cock to each other. It really, I mean, the thing that both Hannah and I said to each other after we finished watching was like, why would you want to be a part of that world?
Oh, I know. I mean, the dynamics of the family are fascinating. And, you know, is it Kieran Culkin, the sort of youngest that runs of the litter, his sort of, he's almost the most defensive of the lot of them because he's the youngest. Defensive. Like he's always insulting someone. He's always having a go. He's really cynical.
Oh, offensive. Right.
Sorry, yeah. And, you know, that family, you know that this Logan Roy, played by Brian Cox brilliantly, it was just a bully of a father and a bit of a tyrant and created this competitive, horrible hostility within the family to grow up within. And that's why they are the way they are. And you really see that develop and really see they explore that dynamic really well within the show. I was listening to, because Adam McKay, who's directed a few of the episodes, is one of the sort of producers of the show, was doing a round table discussion about the show. And he's saying how a lot of the scenes are improvised.
Really?
And
Well,
yeah, there's some improvisation because he likes a lot of improvisation, as we know, with his work. And he said there's a scene where they were all at the dinner table and he had to convince some of the more classically trained actors within the team, and you know we're talking about Brian Cox at that point, to improvise. He said, "No, I'm not doing that." He's like, "I don't improvise." And he eventually he said he was like quite tense for a while, but eventually the atmosphere eased up, and he played along with the idea. And some of the best moments they got out of some of the dinner table scenes and whatever was the improvisational moments. Like, there's also a scene. It's not. This isn't giving anything away to you, Matt. Don't worry. What's his name? The Kendall Roy is.
Why do I feel like this is going to give something away?
No. He's in the toilet, and he just lets rip in the toilet, like has a little bit of a meltdown in the toilet scene, and that was all improvised. Him trashing this toilet, and then the way.
The episode I've just seen.
Is it? Well, that scene is completely improvised. And the moment where he puts everything back in its place again, like a good boy, that just sort of sums his character up perfectly.
Yeah, because he obliterates the bathroom, and then the next shot is of him, like, sweeping it all up.
And, you know, so it was really fascinating seeing how it's a mixture of, like, really great writing, obviously, from Jesse Armstrong, but also the playful playing with these characters within, like, that world, having that freedom. So it's really well done.
Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, and Will Ferrell.
Just to say, Jesse Armstrong is the creator, not the sole writer. There's quite a lot of writers.
No, there's a lot of writers. Yeah,
including Lucy Prebble, who wrote Billy Piper thing with the prostitute, Secret Diary of a Cool Girl.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And she's a playwright. Yeah. Just to mention.
Will Ferrell and Adam McKay have really turned a corner in terms of producing stuff, haven't they? Chaney, they produced.
You mean
did anyone
Dick,
watch
Vice.
That? Dick.
Vice,
Vice.
Sorry.
Thank you. Got there in the end. They also have done Dead to Me. Have either of you watched Dead to Me?
Yeah, we've talked about Dead to Me. Yeah, sorry about my cat, by the way.
It's very vocal tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dead to Me. They produced that as well. They seem to have gone down this brilliant, almost mature route compared to Anchorman and Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights and all that stuff, and are really providing the world with a new. Or really getting on board, at least, with kind of what Armando Iannucci has been doing with a kind of drama comedy, which is so good and so well made. It's nice. It's nice.
Well, I'm very excited about this. It's what I'm going to be doing for the next few weeks.
It is one of the shows that, it's interesting because you two usually kind of are opposites at times when it comes to shows. But this is something that I think, it unites no matter where you sit on the spectrum of what's your favourite kind of TV. Yeah. It works for everybody in a lot of ways. It's hard not to enjoy this show, isn't it?
Yes, I would think
and
so.
And apparently Meryl Streep's going to be in Series 3, so that's good news.
are you lying, Al?
Of course I'm fucking lying. They wouldn't.
I did wonder whether you would manufacture some kind of bullshit reason to be on the other side of the aisle on this one.
No, it's magnificent. It's there is nothing to trim in this. It's just really nice to watch something where you think, God, I hope there's 20 series of this. It's really nice. Matt sent round this week a link to The Guardian, who have an article of top 100 box sets. Let's
100 TV shows, not box sets, because they're not just limiting it to drama.
Yeah, and I mean, shall I read them all out or just the top 20, do you think? Let's just go top 20.
I mean, well, okay, maybe the top 10. I don't know. I think just listening.
All right, less. South Park's at 42. Brass Eye, Peter Geddon, is at 37. These are things that I think if you've never seen, you really should. If Jamie will be glad that the Office is in there, the US version of The Office.
Brilliant.
Significantly lower down than the UK Office.
That's right. All of David Attenborough's stuff really is in there. The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I was glad that that's in there. That's up there in the 20s. And then we get to number 20. Let's see if we've seen these things. So OJ, Made in America. Is this the one? But was this the John Travolta one? I don't think it was.
No, this is a documentary. It's a two-part documentary that was on HBO, I think.
Right,
and it was on here on Sky Atlantic. I watched it. Yeah, it's really good. Really
this is one of the few in the top 30 that I haven't seen.
And it really explores like the whole race relations around that time, and looks at sort of not just the OJ situation, but you know everything else politically going on. It's really good.
I'm going to seek that out. What would I've forgotten now. Okay, well, at number 19, the Vietnam War. This was the documentary that was made by PBS, wasn't it? And Ken Burns.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I've watched it. It's really good. It's a 10-part series narrated by Peter Coyote. Anyone who loves a history documentary will know.
Yeah.
He's great. He's got a great voice. That's really good.
Martin Sheen saying how much he loved this on the West Wing Weekly.
He did indeed. Yeah, he went on about it for quite a while.
So I started
that made it sound like I was bored with him saying it, but he just did talk about it for quite a long time.
It's all right.
It's very interesting. It made me watch it.
Yeah.
I finished it, actually. I need to finish that.
Me too. I watched a couple of episodes before we went to Vietnam last year, which explained a lot about why people look at you like you're a piece of shit when you're in Vietnam. Yeah. At number 18 is Girls, which is a great TV series. I just loved it. I didn't like it at first. Love it now.
It's wonderful. It was. I went to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood this weekend.
What do you think? Let's talk about that in a minute, but go on.
It was just nice to see Lena Dunham on the screen again because I haven't seen her in anything for ages.
Yeah, it was quite, but it's so shocking. You instantly, a bit like with Meryl Streep, you instantly go, oh, there's Lena Dunham, don't you? And they literally turn to each other. Lena's on. She's very unique. Number 17 is one of Jamie's favourites, Deadwood, which I've watched I've only ever watched a few episodes.
Yeah, me too.
It's brilliant.
They basically need to get that off of... Oh, no, it's on Now TV, I think.
It's brilliant, and they released...
Is it all on there?
Yeah, is it?
It was when a couple of years ago when we were last talking about this.
No, it wasn't, because I had to steal it from somewhere.
Oh, no, I think it's on there now, then.
Okay.
Yeah.
They released a film recently that was a sort of, like, sequel 10 years later in Deadwood's world. This right. year came out, and it was really well done.
Oh, yeah.
Felt like they left it open for some more. Like it was a shame that the show ended after three series. It did feel like it had unfinished business, so it was kind of nice that it kind of gave these characters a bit more space to, you know, go somewhere again. It's yeah. really good. It is really it's hard to get into because the language is quite. It can be quite hard to kind of concentrate. You know, it's very kind of difficult to immediately, you know, connect with. But it right. once you get into it, it's so good. And, you know, Ian McShane is just bloody brilliant in it. He's like,
when
the
you
best
say
thing.
The language, are you saying the swearing?
No, not the swearing. Oh. You know, the way they talk in it, there's a style okay. of dialogue in the show that I think is quite it alienates people at the beginning because you have to get used to the way they talk. It's a certain like style of dialogue. Right. It's something that I found with Lauren. My
I
wife.
Think I remember us talking about this. Don't they? That they have certain modern phrases in there. But then...
Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It was like a sort of... there were a bunch of anachronistic things in there, I think, if I remember. I might be remembering this completely wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had a conversation... Jamie's explained about the swearing, about... They used really offensive stuff because they... would have been oh okay never mind forget it because they would have been they used yeah. comparatively offensive stuff now they use the C word now because that's how offensive oh, damn
yeah
would
yeah
because
like, yeah yeah god damn it back then would have been a lot more like fucking cunt or something like that
yes that's right I remember now,
but yeah. that wasn't really the point about that it was just the language in general and it is quite hard to kind of crack and get used to but it is brilliant yeah. you should give it a go
all right well at number 16 is Nighty Night. Did you watch it? It's Jill Tyrell, who you know from lots of comedy.
And Sally... What's her name?
Sally...
Phillips?
Julia Davis is the actress. Jill Tyrell is the...
Yeah, because...
character.
Why am I calling her Sally? Did she do something recently called... Doesn't matter. Anyway, Nighty Night.
Anyway,
it was very good. I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, she was in lots of comedies. And started with Steve Coogan doing.
And
lots
she's married to Julian Barrett, isn't she as well?
Is she really? Well, isn't that lovely?
I think
isn't
so.
That lovely? Well, we obviously need to watch that. So that's Nighty Night, which was from 2004 to 2005. Which is, there we go. It's about cancer. I should keep away from that one. Episode 15, The West Wing. This, for me, should have been in the top 10. I don't know how it is in number 15.
That's yeah, ridiculous. I mean, you know, like I said to you, top 20 makes it just about acceptable, but yeah, should be high. Should be yeah. high.
Curb Your Enthusiasm's at number 14. Jamie can't curb his about this show.
You know what? The thing is, I haven't watched the latest stuff, so and I'm not tempted to, which I find weird because I do like it, and yet I don't feel the urge to delve back in. But yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if I've said this before, but like Curb Your Enthusiasm, I watched the first season of it and I loved it so much. Mm. But I understand what you're saying because I didn't want to watch any more because I kind of can't deal with it. I love it, but I can't deal with it.
Yeah, I've never been able to deal with it. I didn't hate it, and I find the situation
brilliant. It's unconscionably
funny.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
but it's too uncomfortable.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe that's it. One of the funny things about the American accent is that when they say the word duty, they say duty, which brings us on to number 13, Line of Duty.
That is line too of high. That is way too high, man. That show's pretty good.
This
but
is
it's
where
nothing
you
nothing like the quality that we're talking about in this top 20.
This is where you can piss all over the Guardian's top 20, which is bound to be pleasing the woolly lefty parents of baby boomers sitting on their chair now thinking how great they are because they voted Brexit.
I tell you what's good, though, is that Happy Valley is above it. Where is
Happy
that?
Happy Valley is above it. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll find out. At number 12 is 30 Rock. Jamie has watched all of 30 Rock. I've watched a few episodes. Matt's watched a bit.
I've watched the first four series.
Ah, right.
It's great.
Right.
It's great.
At number 11 is ironic. Don't go and watch this TV series if you are looking for a hoot and a giggle because the name is misleading. At number 11, it's Happy Valley. Apparently not as happy as it sounds. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Great show.
Well, brilliant, yeah. It is great.
I really need to watch it. I just, you know, I get enough of miserable Northerners in my everyday life, which is, yeah, I need to get on.
I don't think of it as miserable Northerners. I mean, there's definitely that aspect to it, but it's just a really good cop show as well.
Mm, yeah.
Much better than Line of Duty.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I just had to give my wife my car keys because I've left my car.
I think that's true. I think that is very true. Like, it is better than Line of Duty. It's got much more going on, and it's a lot less about the twists and the turns, and there are twists and turns, but it's not like that's the...
It's not the whole reason that it exists.
Yeah.
Community is a great TV series, and one star of that was Donald Glover, who went on to do, well, he does anything he wants. He's a rapper, he's a singer, he's an actor, a serious actor. I always prefer him when he's being funny, but Atlanta is the title of his foray into dramedy as Guardian writes. No,
you've watched it, Jamie. I started watching it and then I stopped because I wanted to see if Anna would come along with me, and then she fucking sabotaged me again. But I will get back into that show because I was really enjoying it, and I love Donald Glover, but he pisses me off. He is so good at everything.
I know.
Have you heard of his music?
Yeah. He's very good, isn't
he? He's phenomenal.
He's amazing. This is why Matt gets angry at me, if you ever wonder. It's the exact same reason.
Yes, that's exactly why.
At number 9, it's Peep Show, as previously discussed, written by the same Jesse, or created by the same Jesse as Succession. Peep Show, you've watched them all, haven't you? But both of you watched them all.
I haven't watched them all. That is another show like Curb, where I love it and it's brilliant. But
The style's so unique in both Curb and Peep Show that you feel like you know what you're going to get on some level, even if every time you watch it, it's amazing.
Well, no, don't put words into my mouth. That's not how I feel.
That's how I feel about it. I go, they do the camera thing, and that it ostracizes me quite often. But whenever I watch it, I go, it's just brilliant. Same with Curb. Once I start watching an episode, I can't stop watching it.
To me, it's just the uncomfortability. And that's why I love The Office so much, I think, because there's 14 episodes of it, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just enjoy those and move on. But
at number 8 is Fleabag, which is a recent one, and but I think and whenever they do these top hundreds and stuff, obviously you're always going to get a recent one in there, and it gets a bit annoying. For example, Line of Duty. In 100 years, Line of Duty ain't going to be in the top 20 of this list. But Fleabag, it's hard to imagine how Fleabag will not be seen as absolutely brilliant, even 100 years.
I agree with you. It jars because it feels so recent, and it's like, surely there must be something better. But actually, when I think about it, if I really do, it's like, it is fucking brilliant, that show. So I'm fine with it.
One that we've discussed enough, Game of Thrones is at number 7. Game of Thrones.
I'm glad it's in there because I know, obviously, a lot of negativity at the end of the final series, but it's still been epic TV. It's been you know, incredibly just entertaining, and it's grabbed the whole of the world along with it, mainly, and it's been a cultural shifting kind of TV show in the way it's really, you know.
Well, it has. It's taken over the world.
It has, and it deserves.
Yeah, it just has. Create something, and it, you know, I talk a lot about Chaplin and Disney taking over the world, and the things that managed to do that. That you could almost be in, you know, Jon Snow could, Kit Harington could walk in, pretty much any country in the world, and someone would go, "Oh my God, It's Jon Snow. That is an incredible achievement for a piece of telly.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be in my top 20, but I can't deny it its place in the world now. It's it is phenomenal.
Yes, you can be here, but I will not smile at you. Number six, The Office, UK, is at number six. I would not put that in my top 20. Controversial.
Oh.
I think it's very good. I just, maybe it's just because I don't really like Ricky Gervais very much.
I think if you really gave it, when was the last time you watched the Office, Harold?
Yeah, I've watched it quite a bit. I have watched it quite a bit. I'm not sure. I'll go back.
You go back in there because it's pretty special. When you go
you do
back,
forget
in, you go,
how good, just how good it is. Yeah. Particularly, I think I'm right when I say this. Like the Christmas specials, the two special episodes that they did were, because the first one wasn't that great, I think it made the second one feel even better than it was at the time. But I watched them again recently and it still feels the same. It's just the second one is just a masterpiece. It really is. To tie that whole thing off in the way that it did was, it's a special thing.
Okay. I'll go back. Number five, Breaking Bad. Love it.
Yes. It's
another one like Game of Thrones for me. I wouldn't put it in my top 20, but it's...
Not even in the top 20?
No, I don't think so.
Nothing.
I think it might be interesting for us to compile a top 20.
Yeah, that would be
each. Do a bit of comparison behind the scenes and then present something.
The Thick of It is at number four. Fantastic piece of work. But now I've watched The Thick of It. Succession. It's just, go for it. Number three is Mad Men, which I'm currently on the final series on for the second time. And I just can't tell you how every time I watch it, it's relevant.
Brilliant.
I'd even forgotten the scene. Do you remember a scene where Roger Sterling actually blacks up?
At a wedding.
Yeah, at a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like every day somebody brings up a debate with me. Somebody brought up today the stuff around the Canadian president.
Trudeau,
and they were talking about, would it be okay if you went as Aladdin and you browned up compared to blacked up, or if you were like, all of this stuff was being debated. I'm like, Mad Men dealt with this 10 years ago. Go and watch it. And it's almost every day that something is brought up in this.
I mean, did it though? It didn't exactly deal with it. It just depicted it.
I think this is my point. When you watch it again, you notice the things that they say around that, which, without having to be on the nose with, like, now we're having a debate about this. It's the disdain that certain characters have for that, including Don Draper, is completely not interested and finds it disgusting and offensive. But he doesn't have to sit and explain the reasons for it. He just has to show how disgusted he is, And that's what I love about it. That's why I love it so much, because it's dealing so directly with all these issues, particularly feminism and equal rights. And the way that it deals with it is never about the issue. It's always about the story. And it's so good. It's
Peggy
so
Olsen.
Good.
What a great character.
Yes. And Jamie, you were right. The scenes between Peggy and Don are some of the greatest scenes in TV ever. When you've seen that character, the amount Don shares with people is very little, and in those scenes it's magic when they get in conversation with each other.
Yeah, that relationship through all those six series, the twists and turns it takes are amazing.
It's brilliant. The 2000 and somethings coffee table favorite for anyone who is white and lives in the West, number two, it's The Wire.
What a show.
Great TV series. Great TV series. But number two, the second best TV series ever made?
Oh, I put it at number one.
Would you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would flip the top two.
Would you? Number one, it's Sopranos. The Sopranos, which if you did love Sopranos, and of course you did, because how could you watch that and not love it? Matthew Weiner, or Weiner, is the guy behind that. He is the man behind Mad Men. So if you've never watched Mad Men and you have watched Sopranos...
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I think that's true. I'm not lying, am I, Jamie?
No, he was part of Sopranos as well, yeah. He wasn't...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the writers, yeah.
Right.
Huh, I didn't know that.
And where did our Succession, the discussion tonight, where did that come in the list? It did come in.
It was in there somewhere. It was definitely in the top 100. I can't remember where exactly it placed. But going back to...
Cause, the Good Wife.
Yes,
I would hope so.
Good grief, really?
Yeah.
I'm actually planning, after I finish my West Wing recap with my mum, we're going to watch The Wire, because she needs someone to sit with her and watch stuff, otherwise her attention wanders.
Right.
So I don't watch the screen when we watch this stuff. I sit and I look at her. And I hold onto her phone.
Oh, man. Don't start me on wives using their phones while you're watching something really good.
It's not just wives. Hell.
I don't have a husband. You don't have a husband. I'm just using wives because we all have wives. I've started pausing it. I've started pausing it and going, sorry.
Oh, the passive aggressive pause. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'll wait for him. Don't worry. We can laugh at this joke again when I rewind it and we can press play. It's great. Thanks.
One day, I do really want to do just an interview with Sarah and find out everything, why she stays with you.
Yeah, that's a very.
Are you amazing in bed?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah, of course. good. Well, that's been fun.
Did you have any particular notable omissions from the list or from the top 20 at any rate? I felt outraged about.
Brain was so filled of it. Yeah, Chuck. Where the hell was Chuck in there? Where the hell was Gilmore Girls? Now that's a serious point. That is a serious feminist point there, because you've kept in Aaron Sorkin stuff and you've kept in the Soprano stuff. And at the same time that was happening, you had this Leviathan written by a woman. And that is not in there. As isn't Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which for me, you know, should be down there with a very British Scandal, for goodness sake.
Yeah, please. That is... Yeah, that,
The Shield.
Yeah. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel should definitely be in there. That's insane that's not...
Gogglebox, for God's sake. God of Gogglebox. Gogglebox has definitely got its value historically, I suppose.
They did have some strange things in there, though.
They have some weird things in there. Like, well, I don't understand why you put a reality TV show on this. It's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, it is really fucking stupid. And again, the entire list.
So what are we going to have on there? Match of the Day, the news.
Yeah. Yeah,
Bake Off's in there, for fuck's sake. What the fuck are you talking about?
Even David Attenborough being on there is questionable for me.
That's borderline, isn't it? Yeah,
Because it's incredible TV.
It has some narrative kind of creativity about it, and you have to tell a story with it as well. But it's like fucking Bake Off, mate.
Yeah, What are you thinking? Fucking stupid list. Why did we ever even go anywhere near it? Well, it's been great having you listen tonight. Thank you very much. If you'd like to send us your lists, maybe your top 100, you can by emailing studio@theboxsetpod.com. The way that we record this means that Jamie and Matt can't hear the amazing music that's now playing underneath them. But when they listen back to it, they are going to... I think when you guys listen back to this episode and you hear those South African singers at the beginning, your heart's going to be so full with pride and probably not even going to question whether or not it goes on a bit too long, maybe sort of 30 seconds too long.
I think you're just gonna love it. Whether we should just have the funky jazz in the second part that feels entirely appropriate to the podcast.
The problem is you can't... what do you pick? Laurel without the Hardy? It's not... It just doesn't work, does it? Just doesn't work. Right. Thank you. I'm off to France. Oh, I went to Dublin last weekend. Watched Riverdance. Cried like a baby. Didn't talk about that. We'll talk about that next week.
Are we done, are we?
Yeah, we're done. We're done. Right. That's it. We've been going ages.
Oh, sorry. I joined late, didn't I? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you did, yeah. So, more next week. And thank you. Thank you. Oh, and if the recording's been a bit weird this week, hopefully it'll be better next week. Excellent. To do with the new setup. Thanks. And I think Jamie's gone already. So
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, he's there. He's there. Right. Disappeared off my screen.
No. Goodbye.
Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.